Morning. Today's daf is daf Samaches in Avodah Zarah. Since we've seen the Mishnah on Samachem and Beis, we've been discussing some of the more fundamental issues in the world of Ta'arovis. We talked about Nisina's Tam, the giving off of taste. We talked about Min Bimino versus Min B'Sheino Mino. Had a discussion in the Gemara exactly how to define Min Bimino versus Min B'Sheino Mino. But the Gemara then turned its attention to the issue of Reach. Whether Recha Milsa or Recha Lav Milsa, he, Machlok Zabai and Rava. And now, since yesterday, in Samach Zayin, we've discussed the issue of Nosin Tam of Gam. Nosin Tam of Gam, the preponderance of positions amongst the Amalayim is Nosin Tam of Gam is Mutter. What is Nosin Tam of Gam? It means that it does not, the Isser does not give off a pleasant taste. It doesn't give off a good taste. Yesterday we saw two versions of Reish Lakish in terms of what precisely does that mean. Reish Lakish is of the opinion that the food as it is has to be a good food, and then that the Isser that you added has to really take away from the quality of the food. That's Nosin Tam of Gam. That is the first version of Reish Lakish. The second version of Reish Lakish is not that harsh. The second version of Reish Lakish is, no, the food is not that great as it is. Could use a little more salt, could have used a little less salt. And then you add to the Isser, and the Isser takes away from the taste, even though you could doctor it up and you could fix it, but you freeze frame the moment. If right now, when you add the Isser, it takes away from the taste, that's no Saint Tom of Gum, and that's going to be mutter.
Yeah, but when you say that, it was the first case, when the food is very perfect, and it makes it a little worse, but you know, but the,
thank you.
This is a degree, I mean, you know. What does that mean?
There are always going to be degrees. There are always going to be degrees.
Still
correct. Correct, but you just have to first you lay down the principles, and then you can talk about the degrees. But the principle is Nosin Tam of Gam is mutter. Okay, there has been so far a lot of discussion amongst the Amoraim, but all the Amoraim seem to very strongly take the position Nosin Tam of Gam is mutter. And how could you blame the Amoraim when the Mishnah says it? You go back to the Mishnah back on Samech Hamid Beis, and the Mishnah says. If there's no benefit in the taste that's given off, so then it's going to be mutter. Kigon, and the Mishnah gives the example, chomet shenafal gabi grisin. If you have vinegar that falls on the lentils, on the split pea, so the Mishnah says that's going to be fine. Because vinegar is terrible on split peas. And again, we all have our own opinions about what's good and what's not good. But the Mishnah says that as long as we can all agree that vinegar is terrible on top of split peas, even if the vinegar is usur, but the tarovis that's created, the mixture that's created, since it doesn't add to the split pea, but it's detrimental to the split pea, so therefore it's going to be mutter. So how can you blame the Amoraim? All of them say Nosin Tam of Gam is mutter when the Mishnah says it as well.
Even if you see the vinegar? Even if you see it?
If the, right.
There's red vinegar and then there's clear
vinegar. Okay, so it's a good question. I'll touch on the question in just a moment in the Gemara, but it's a very good question because the Mishnah's point is really in the world of Ta'arovis and the mixture.
We don't see it.
Amar Rav Kahana. We are now starting in the Gemara and Daf Samach Zayin and Beis. We are five lines from the top of the Amar. The first word in the line is Kalishna Basa Deresh Lakish, and we are continuing. Amar Rav Kahana Midivrei Kulam. Look around. Look at all the Amoraim. Rashi gives us a list. Midivrei Kulam Nilmad. Rav Yehuda, Rabba Bar Barchana, Rav Dimi, Reish Lakish, Rabbi Abahu. So now it's imperative that you go back over the Gemara and find all these Amoraim that he's discussing. And, right, Rashi did that. Okay, that'll be your homework for tonight. But you'll see, in other words, every Amora that Rashi brings down is of the opinion Nosin Tam Lev Gam is Mutter. And so Rav Kahana says, so let's surmise, it's a simple conclusion, Midivrei Kulam Nilma Nosin Tam Lev Gam Mutter. So Amalei Abaye, so Abaye says, Bishlam Mikula Lechaye. Look, you're right. Every Amora that's quoted holds Nosin Tam Lev Gam is Mutter. Agreed. Ela Dereish Lakish Amar Kamar Velelo Svirle. But Reish Lakish, I don't know. Reish Lakish may just be saying pshat. Meaning, the only thing he may be doing is just explaining the Mishnah. But he himself doesn't hold Nosin Tam of Gam as mutter. He holds Nosin Tam of Gam as asur. Now, the Gemara says, What are you saying in Reish Lakish that he doesn't hold that way? Mechlal, deikel aman damanosin talmav gamazoser. Oh, so you mean to tell me that somebody's out there, some tan is out there, who holds no sin talmav gamazoser? That even though you're adding a food, and even though the taste of the food is detrimental to that which you're adding it to, and makes it worse, nevertheless the isser is there, and therefore it's aser, even though it doesn't give a pleasant flavoring to the food. You mean to say that when someone holds like that in? And the Gemara says, absolutely, somebody does hold like that. V'hatanyi, because we learned in the Braisa, Echanos in Tam of Gam, Echanos in Tam of Shvach, also Divrei Meir. And so now, for a good part of today, we're going to be focused on this Braisa. Because this Braisa now is going to introduce us to the idea that no Saint Tam of Gam is subject to a machlokus between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon. Now, Lehalacha, as we're going to see towards the end of today's daf, we take the position no Saint Tam of Gam is mutter. That the isser that you add, even though it adds a detrimental flavor, it's going to be acceptable. The food is going to be acceptable. But right now, in the world of limud, the world of learning, we're now going to learn that this is subject to a machlokus. So no Saint Tam of Gam Becha, no Saint Tam Lishvach, also Divrei Meir. Rabbi Shimon Omer Lishvach, also Lifgam Mutter. Good. Period. That's the end of the Braisa. We see that subject to a machlokus. And so, going back to Rav Kahana's statement, all the Amoraim that we quoted up until now, from the Mishnah Samechei until this very point in time, they all hold like Rabbi Shimon. No Saint Tam of Gam is Mutter. Even though it has a detrimental flavor, it's still going to be okay. What about Reish Lakish? I don't know. Meaning Reish Lakish is just explaining the Mishnah. But he's not saying a Psak Halacha. So it could be that Reish Lakish holds like Rav Meir. The Gemara is not concluding on the matter, but in other words, now we know that it's out there. Somebody out there holds no Saint Tam of Gam is Aser. The Gemara now is going to give us the basis of position for both Rav Meir and Rabbi Shimon. My time under Rav Meir, Gamar Migi'ule of the Kochavim. So for Rav Meir's standpoint, we're going to learn it from Gi'ule of the Kochavim. We went to war against the Midjanim. And after we went to war against the Midjanim, the Torah says, okay, all the spoils of war, you had pots and dishes and right, all the good spoils of war, you got to kosher it. Rashi says, Yalav Migi'ule of the Kochavim derachmana asrina b'chlei Midjan. The Torah says you're not allowed to use the kelim of Midjan. The Torah says that if it was cooked on a fire, you have to kasher with fire. We have to expunge, remove the tam isser from the pots. So geulei of the kochavim lav no saint tam lev gamu va'aser rachmana hachinami loshna. And so the argument of Rameir goes like this: that taste that's in the pots of the Midjanim, how long has that taste been sitting there for? A day, 2 days, 3 days? It's disgusting, right? It really is. It's gross. It's no saint tam lev gam. You cook another food in that pot. The food that's in that pot is not going to enhance the flavor. It's going to take away from the dish that you're cooking. So this is a perfect case of no sin tam of gum. And what does the Torah tell us to do? Kasher the pot. Oh. So you see from over here that even though it's no sin tam of gum, the Torah says it's usher. This is a source for a mayor. What's
it's
your
shit? Really right, because they have a mixture, you know, it's in. Here you have like a secondary thing.
Okay.
You get, right?
Fine, it's fine. So Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon's argument is like this. The idach keder Rav Huna braid Rav Chia. Damer Rav Huna braid Rav Chia lo aser torah keder bas yoma. De lo pagam. I'm sorry. Keder bas yoma. De lo lifgam hu. And Rabbi Shimon, in his defense, will say, "Yeah, you're right. The Torah does tell us to kasher, but only because for the first 24 hours. Meaning that after a pot's been used for the first 24 hours, it has a wonderful taste in there. The taste that's in the pot, in the walls of the pot, has not gone rancid." In fact, it's wonderful. It's there, and it's a good taste. In fact, sometimes you know you use pots just simply because it does give a good flavoring. So for those first 24 hours, it's good. That's when the Torah says that you have to kosher. Meaning, it's a funny scenario. We went to war against the Midjanim, right? They cooked in that pot in the past 24 hours. I mean, they're at war, but still, they cooked in those pots. And if we want to use those pots within 24 hours, that's where the Torah says you have to kasher. But in Achinami, after 24 hours, it spoils and no Saint Tam of Gam, and therefore and it would be okay. But Rabbi Shimon says, as far as that pasuk is concerned, the pasuk is talking only about the first 24 hours. V'idach. Now let's go back to Rav Meir. What's Rav Meir going to say in his defense? Kidei Rav Yuma nami yefshad lo pagma porta. Rav Meir will say, no, I disagree. In that, even in the first 24 hours, it's not the most pleasant taste. Meaning that the food, in this case, the taste that exists in the walls of the pot, start going rancid already even within the first 24 hours. Granted, there's a big difference between the first 24 hours and 5 days later and a week later, but still, pagma porta, it does start to go a little bit, and still the Torah goes out of its way to say, kasher it. So according to Rameyer, it says, you see from here that even though it's lefgam, even though it's not pleasant, still the Torah says kasher. Tosos writes, it's a huge Tosos over here. I'll explain why it's so big in just a moment. Tosos writes, lechora, that's basically the machlok between Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon. Those first 24 hours of a pot, the taste that's imbued in the pot, is it good or is it starting to go rancid already within the first 24 hours? And Tosos says, ostensibly, that's the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon holds that for the first 24 hours, the taste is wonderful. Like, not rancid at all. And when the Torah gives its instructions, you need to kasher, that's because first 24 hours, the taste is totally good. It's totally l'shvach. After 24 hours, where it's pogum, where it's already starting to go, and doesn't give a pleasant flavor anymore, the Torah doesn't say anything. It's fine. It's not on top of gum. And according to Rabbi Meir will say, no, even for the first 24 hours, it's already starting to go, and the Torah goes out of its way to say, you need to kosher it. So that's the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon. It's not a lumdish way to explain the machlokas. It's just the machlokas in Metzius. Does taste start to go within the first 24 hours? The length of Tosos over here is explained, right? It takes up the whole bottom of the page. It takes up a good portion of the next Amud. It's huge. Tosos spent a lot of time trying to reconcile a Gemara that we're learning over here in Avodah Zarah and the Gemara in Pesachim on Daf Mem Dalamid Beis, which also has an Osein Talmud Gam discussion. And there seems to be a Machlokas Tanaim that doesn't fit into our Machlokas Tanaim. Tosos spends a lot of time trying to reconcile. So that's, and we're not going to go through it right now. All right. Rabbi Shimon, my time. Okay, so we have a source for a mayor. Rabbi Meir says, how do I know that Nosin Talmud Gam is Osir? Because even though the taste in the pots are rancid, the Torah says kosher. Okay, good. What about Rabbi Shimon? Where do I get Rabbi Shimon from? My time in Ditanya. The Pasuk says in Parshas Re'eh that if I have Nevela, an animal that died without a proper Shechita, so I can't eat it, it's Nevela, and what do I do with it? Give it to the Ger. Just a couple days ago, we had that discussion about a Ger Toshav, a legal alien living inside of Eretz Yisrael, who accepted upon himself not to be Ovid Avodah Zarah, but is still allowed to eat Nevela. He's not a full convert. He's what's called a Ger Toshav. So the Torah says over here, L'ger asher b'sharechet titnena, give it to the Ger, let him eat it. And now Rabbi Shimon learns like this, Kol ha-ru'uya l'ger, kray l'nevela. She'ein ru'uya l'ger, ain a kruya nevela. Oh, it's an interesting limud, right? Very interesting. If you can give it to the ger, meaning it's edible, so then it qualifies as a nevela. If you can't give it to the ger because it's no longer edible, so it's no longer called a nevela.
And you therefore can eat it,
right?
Yeah,
it's a very interesting limud. Okay, and that is a source for Rabbi Shimon of No Saint Tam Lev Gam, which being mutter. I understand, by the way, it's an unbelievable chiddush, meaning that it didn't receive a proper shechita, and it's right now in Isser. And once it starts spoiling, so now I wouldn't give it to a ger, so now the shame Isser goes away. Right? It's a tremendous chiddush. Something that had an Isser, and then because of its dilapidation, the shame Isser goes away. It's not exactly the same thing that we're discussing over here. Meaning we're discussing over here vinegar and split peas. Right? The vinegar is still awesome. Right? It just really, really think about it. Spend some time thinking about it. It's not the comparison of Rabbi Shimon And his concept of Nosin Talmud Gam being mutter comes from the nevela, the carcass of an animal that starts to decay into rot. It's not roila achila.
I'm saying if it's rotten to such a point, he says there's no iser.
Right, the iser goes away.
Right.
Here, we're talking about split peas with vinegar in it. Who wants split peas with vinegar in it? The vinegar is still, it's good. It right. just does not agree, the taste of the vinegar doesn't agree with the split peas.
Right.
But the iser is still there.
Right.
So you understand it's a little bit difficult mm-hmm. to try to how to fit in the source of Rabbi Shimon to the concept of Nosin Talmud Gam being mutter. Okay, the Rishonim deal with it. I'm just saying it's realize that it's difficult. Shem Rula Ger and the Kruel and Avail of Rab Meir. Now, what's Rab Meir going to say in response to that? Ha'u lemutei srucha mi'ikara. So Rab Meir is going to say, oh, that's srucha mi'ikara. No, that's it's something which the heter of the Torah. If you can't give it to a ger, therefore it's not an avela. That's talking about where the animal was never good. Rashi gives the example, mukach shchim mechayim. We're talking about an animal that already started to rot and wear away, even while it was still alive. It was a diseased animal. That's where the Torah says that if it dies without a proper shchita, so then it's not an avela. But if it dies and it's totally edible, it's usser and always usser, even after it decays. Rabbi Shimon tzurcha mikara l'tzurcha miyuta afra ba'amahu. And Rabbi Shimon in his defense will say, I disagree. If it's tzurcha mikara, if it was a decayed animal, if it was a diseased animal, that the Torah doesn't even have to address.
Food.
It's not even food. It's afra ba'amah. It's just dirt. It's just dust. It's nothing. Okay. Machlokes now between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon on the issue of no Saint Tam Levgam being asr or mutar. The source of Rabbi Meir is Giule of Avodah Zarah. The war that we go out to Midjan, we come back with the kalim, the taste in the pot is not a good taste, and the Torah says to us, you have to kosher it. That's the source for Rabbi Meir. The source for Rabbi Shimon, Nosin Talmud Gam being mutter, comes from the Pasuk in Re'ei, Lo Sochlu Kol Nevela Ger Sheva Sharecha. If it's fit for the ger, so then it's Nevela. If it's not fit for the ger, meaning it's spoiled, decayed, rotted, so then it's no longer as a shame, iser nevela. Okay? Basic machlokas, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon. Amar Ula. The Gemara will spend now some time trying to understand, modify the machlokas. Machlokas, yishbiach ulevesof pagama, but pagama yikara divra hakol mutter. If it was pagama yikara, now here, what Ula means is that when there was a meeting between the two foods, if at the point of meeting, it already creates a nasty taste, so then there is no machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir, it's going to be mutter. The only disagreement is when it doesn't start off as being pogum, meaning originally when the two foods meet, it's agreeable, but then over the course of time, maybe because I cook it, then it becomes pogum. That's the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir. Eisle Rav Chagalula, the Gemara challenges this assertion. Yain shenafal atoch hadash v'chomesh shenafal atoch grisim asar. Rabbi Shimon Matir. So we're discussing now the case that we saw in our Mishnah. Essentially, the case of wine falling into split peas, and we're talking about where the wine is asar, the wine is prohibited. And Rabbi the Tanakama, which we know, of course, is Rabbi Meir, says it's Asur. Rabbi Shimon says it's Mutter. And the Gemara makes an assertion, an assumption. So the Gemara says here, it's not agreeable from the point of meeting. It's not agreeable, and still there's a machlok between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon. Amar Ula Chagala Meida Yada Mai Kaamri Rabbanan Chiyuftika Mosiv. Chaga doesn't know how to ask a question. He doesn't understand the brisa. Hacha b'mayiskinan kigon shenafal osoch grisin sonanim behir sicham. Oh, well, no. When you put the vinegar, or in this case the wine, into the split peas, you put it in cold. That's fine. That's not pagam. That's agreeable. Then it was heated up. When you heat up the split pea vinegar mixture, then it's not good. It's disgusting. And so Ula says, in that case, that's why there's a machlokas. But had it been the case, according to Ula, that when the two foods get together, and from the moment that they get together, it is lufgam, it does not give a pleasant taste, it gives an unpleasant taste. Both Rav Meir and Rabbi Shimon would agree that it would be mutter. Okay. So Ula modifies the machlokes between Rav Meir and Rabbi Shimon. And so does Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan disagrees with Ula. Rav Yochanan Amar, Bipogim mi'ikara machlokes. According to Rav Yochanan, if the moment that the two meet, the two foods meet, the vinegar and the split pea, and from that very moment, when they meet, it adds an unpleasant taste to the food, that's when Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon disagree. Okay? What about the other case? What about the case where, when they first meet,
it didn't do anything?
And then afterwards, like for the example that we had, where you cooked it, now it's no Saint Talmud of Gam, are they going to disagree in that case as well? Ivailahu. That's the Gemara's next question. Is everyone agreed that it's also in that case? Or is there a machlokas in both? In both cases, teiku, the Gemara leaves it off as a teiku. Tosus points out over here, the bottom Tosus on the page, that even though right now the Gemara leaves it off in a teiku, we're going to see when we get to Amud Beis later this morning, the Gemara does resolve it. And Tosus writes on the bottom, it's interesting. Tosus writes on the bottom, it's the last Tosus on the page. Even though later we're going to point out that in a case where it starts off, the initial mixture is good, and then only later becomes unpleasant, everybody agrees that that's usur. Right now, in the base medrash, they didn't know the answer. Vishuv pashtua, and then later on they resolved it. And it's interesting, the Gemara records conversations in the base medrash. Right? We always assume the Gemara is like a later, it's like a finished work. The Gemara is not that. The Gemara is a record of discussions that took place in the base medrash. And at one point in time, like in our case over here, where the Gemara says, does Rav Yochanan think this way? And the Gemara says, well, I don't know. Take him. So the Gemara records that, even though later on we're going to know exactly what Rav Yochanan feels.
According to Ula, who says, Pagam Yekod, Yekod, Muta.
Right.
Can't you say that if it's edible when it's mixture, then you wait and it becomes bad, it gets Muta? Can't you say it's like almost...
This whole discussion is only after the fact, meaning lichatchila, you can't.
I'm going to leave it and then wait.
Correct.
You can.
Correct. Baruch Atah Melech Olam Shekol Amen. Okay. Rav Amram is a big supporter of Rav Yochanan. Efshar Isa Lahad Rav Yochanan Velo Tanya Labim Masnisan. Rav Yochanan makes a statement. He modifies the machlokas of Rabbi Shimon and Rav Meir. You mean to tell me Rav Yochanan is going to make a statement and his statement goes unsupported by a Mishnah or a Braisa? It's impossible. If Rav Yochanan says it, it's correct and it must be some sort of support. Nafak Dak Va'ashkach. So he goes out there, he looks around, and he finds a Mishnah in Arla. Mishnah Arla says the following. The case in Arla starts off like this. Again, back in the good old days when they wanted bread, so their yeast was sourdough. A dough that was left out, become spoiled, a little rotted, has some wonderful bacteria on it. So that was used as their leavening agent. Right? This is called chametz. I'm sorry, this is called saor. Right? And they would put the saor into the dough and that would create a leavening agent. So the Mishnah and Arla discuss the following scenario. First we start off with a sourdough of chulin, meaning it's totally acceptable, goes into dough, has enough sourdough in there in order to allow the dough to rise, and the dough rises. V'acharkach nafal sor shel truma sor shel klei hakerem, and then the next thing that falls in is prohibited sourdough. The yeshbo kedei lahachmitz. And that sourdough has enough to leaven it. But the bread has already risen. Adding more yeast after the fact is not beneficial, it's detrimental. And look what happens in this Mishnah in Arla. Aser according to the Tanna Kamma, who we're going to call Reb Meir because it is Reb Meir, according to the Tanna Kamma, it's Asur, and Rabbi Shimon Matir. And Rabbi Shimon says it's Mutter. Okay, perfect. We have now a Mishnah where I'm adding the Isser, and when I added the Isser, the moment I added the Isser, it was no good. The dough already rose. It's a good dough now. Now I'm adding more yeast. It's detrimental. The moment that I added it, it's detrimental. And the Tanna Kamma / Rabbi Meir says it's Asur. Rabbi Shimon says it's Mutter. So here, what do you have? The Gemara says, look, perfect. The hahacha de pagam ikarahu upligi. So the Gemara says, it's pagam ikara. You added that second sourdough. The moment you add it, it's detrimental. And we have a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon. Perfect. Rabbi Yochanan is supported based on that Mishnah and Arla. Amar Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Zera says, you don't have to say that. Shani Isa holver uyla chamea bo kame iso sacheros. No. I'll tell you that there, the debate between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon hinges on a totally different issue. Not on Nosei Tam of Gam, but on a totally different issue. Look, you added another sourdough. You ruined the bread. It's no good anymore. But you know what? That entire bread becomes sourdough. So even though it's true, you ruined it as a dough, but you've also created sourdough. You know, behind every right cloud is a silver lining. Did I say it totally wrong? Yeah, it doesn't matter. even if I didn't say it well, the point is that correct. You ruined the dough, but you created sourdough. So the Tanna Kamma says you're right. It's not dough anymore, but it's still usser because I've created seor, an entire batch of seor. And it's Seor now of Truma. It's a Seor now of Kalaya Karim. And that's going to be us. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, that wasn't your intention. Your intention was to create dough. You ruined the dough, and therefore it's going to be Mutter. Okay. Tashma the Gemara again is going to try to see whether or not Rabbi Yochanan is correct. Machlok is between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir. Whether Nosin Tam of Gam is Mutter, Nosin Tam of Gam is Asur. And then Rabbi Yochanan comes along and modifies. He says the whole debate is where, even at the point of meeting, it creates a detrimental, the food that you put in creates a detrimental flavor, and even then there's a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon. Tashma, so we're going to try to see it from the following Braisa. Braisa over here is made up of three parts. Okay, part number one of the Braisa. Sor shel shumah v'shel chulin shenafel l'soch ha'isa. You have sourdough. Here in the first case of the Braisa, it is combination. A little bit of sourdough of Truma, a little bit of sourdough of Chulin. Bezek de lachmitz, bezek de lachmitz, v'chimtso, aser, Rabbi Shimon, matir. So the first case is where each one of them had enough to leaven. The bread rose. Machlok is Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Shimon. Nafel shel Truma tchila, second case. Nafel shel Truma tchila, divra hakol aser. Nafel shel chulin v'achar kach nafel shel Truma, o shel klai kerem, aser, Rabbi Shimon matir. What if it's zeh achar zeh? So if the Truma goes in first, for sure it's not good. Right? Because the dough was leavened by Truma. That's not good. What if the chulin fell in first, followed then by the Truma? So the Tanna Kamma says it's aser, Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter. Okay?
But in the first case, why sooner the dough became sour? By adding the two of them, it rose, but it became, the whole thing became sour. Otherwise, the Shimon would have.
Okay, so, there, right? Good question. Just wait, one second. The hahacha, now the Gemara comments. The hahacha, the pagam eikar, upligi. Good. It's exactly where we want to be. In the second case in the Braisa, the dough has already risen. And then I add Truma sourdough in. The moment I added Truma sourdough in, I ruined it. Right? Detrimental from the beginning. And Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir argue. So you see the Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of the machloka seems to be perfectly correct. V'chite ma'achanami k'derebi zero. So again, the Gemara says, well, remember what Rabbi Zera said just a moment ago? It could be that the only reason why Rabbi Meir argues in that case is because you may have ruined it, but you created more sourdough. So Tashma Misefa. Now what we're going to do is we're going to go to the third part of the Braisa. Hayan shenafal socha, dashim v'chomesh shenafal socha karitza, master Rabbi Shimon Matir. Third case of the braisa is a classic case of vinegar going into the split pea. And it's not pleasant when the vinegar goes into the split pea. It creates a bad taste. And back at the machlokas, Rabbi Shimon Rameyer. And the Gemara now comments, v'ha-ha-chanami depagami karu pligi. Over there, the moment the vinegar goes in, the moment of meeting, it's no good. It's detrimental. So the Gemara says, and what do you want to tell me? That case, the third case of the Brice, is talking about where it went in cold and then you heated it, like we said earlier. The Gemara says, we know that's not true, because go back to the first case in the Brisa. Second case in the Brisa, Truma goes in first, and if the Truma goes in first, according to everyone, Divra Hakol, it's going to be Aser. So, it's Pogami Ikara, and there's a Machlokas. So you see that the whole machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir is pogum mitchila. The moment that the food goes in, it creates a detrimental flavor, and still Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir argue. Hani tlasi bava diktani lamali. Okay, so now, we've just quoted a braisa. There are three parts of the braisa. Now, bishlama bava tsefa kamash malan bepogim meikar machlokas. Look, the third part of the braisa teaches me a basic understanding of the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon. When do they argue? When the moment that it goes in, it creates a detrimental flavor. Rabbi Meir says it's not good, it's not acceptable, and Rabbi Shimon says no, that's not same time of gamma, therefore it's going to be mutter. And look, I also learned something from the middle case, because in the middle case, when the sourdough goes in, it creates leavening. Good, a positive benefit, and then afterwards I add more leavening agent, but it doesn't matter. It's hishbiach u levisof pagom. Everybody agrees that's going to be aser. Ela reisha lamali. But what do I get from the first case in the braisa? Hashto masefa de lo kamishabech klal asri rabbanan reisha de kamishabech mibaye. Why would you think, according to the chachamim? Chachamim here meaning Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says it's aser even if it creates a detrimental flavor. So in the first case, for sure it's going to be aser. I'm Rabbi Reish la Rabbi Shimon etzrich. V'hachi kamer le Rabban la Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says you're right. In the first case in the Braisa, remember the first case in the Braisa is the two were put in together. Not zachar zeh, but bevas achas, the two of them were put in together. And what's the chiddush is towards Rabbi Shimon? V'hachi kamer le Rabban la Rabbi Shimon. Isa zurui lahachmitz b'shtei shaus migarim la shetachmitz b'shah achas iser. So Chachamim say to Rabbi Shimon, look, how could you possibly tell me that it's okay, that's acceptable? Normally when I put sourdough in, it takes 2 hours for it to rise. But here, I put in a lot of sourdough. Combination of Isser and Heter. You want to ignore the Isser? How can you ignore the Isser? The Isser expedited the whole leavening process. So, and Rabbi Shimon, Kishi Hishbicha, Shneim Hishbicha, Kishe Pagmo, Shneim Pagmo. And Rabbi Shimon says, look, they both work simultaneously. And when there's Shvach, both create Shvach. And when there's Pagam, they both create Pagam. Good. Period. Okay? So we learn out something from the first case as well, that according to Rabbi Shimon, he views it to be acceptable. Just one basic point, and then we're going to move on to the Gemara. According to Rabbi Shimon, the first case of the Braisa. Right? First case of the Braisa, Sorshul, Truman, Chulam fall in at the same time. Doesn't this fall under the category of Zev Zegarim? Right? We had this concept earlier in the Masechta, the concept of Zev Zegarim, where I have two agents that act on an object. One is Isser and one is Heter. Right? Like we talked about the growing of the plants in the soil, and I used Avodah Zarah to fertilize it. Zev Zegarim. And if you remember, the conclusion was Zev Zegarim is Mutter. That was the Gemara's conclusion earlier. So over here, if I have two leavening agents, one's Isser, one's Mutter, so why don't we employ the rule of Zev Zegarim? So Tosfos over here addresses that very question. Third Tosfos on the page, Rabbi Shimon, let's start for Heter Le'Isser. V'im Tomer, Amai Lo Talipul Taibah Zev Zegarim. So why aren't we using our concept that we learned earlier in the Masechta? Like we learned earlier in the Masechta. Tosfos lays down a very basic foundation in terms of understanding Zevizegorim. Tosfos says, when do I say Zevizegorim? When they need each other. When the two items need one another and they can't act independent of one another, then I use the terminology of Zevizegorim. Over here, in this case, Each one had enough. Right? Tosfos goes on to say, so if you have enough leavening agent of either one of them, and they were put in at the same time, I don't use the concept of zevizegorim, because that doesn't apply over here. Zevizegorim is only limited to where I need both. The two agents need one another and act on one another. Over here they don't, and that's why I don't have the concept of Zevzegorin. Take good basic Havana. Yeah.
In the first case, how can I understand the matter? I mean, if there was enough of a Torah 11 to do it, but then how can he use an 11 of Torah? He can't use it unless it's a calling. Talking about, but anybody else, nobody else can do that.
No, but he says, I understand, but he says over here, it is nothing kind of gum. Yeah, you added too much leavening agent.
Yeah, but it happened simultaneously.
Right.
It's immediately.
That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says it's a chiddush, it's a huge chiddush in Rabbi Shimon. It's right, it is a big chiddush. Because it's, in other words, it started off as being good. In other words, it created leavened dough. But now, because you added too much, and you added too much of
at the end,
right? So it creates it's pugum. Okay, let's go on in the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon, let's start. Hetter v'etzer b'hadi adad v'litzer. According to Rabbi Shimon, so can we say that there's a combination of hetter and iser, and once there's a combination, why don't we just simply say it creates iser? Rabbi Shimon l'tamid amar afilu iser v'iser na'amin lo mitzarfe. Rabbi Shimon doesn't look at Sirif. He doesn't combine Isser v'Heter. In fact, Rabbi Shimon doesn't even combine Isser and Isser. Did Nana Arla Klai Kar Mitzarfin? Rabbi Shimon Amar Ain Mitzarfin. Rabbi Shimon is not Mitzarf. He doesn't combine the two of them. He doesn't combine Isser together. Certainly he won't combine Isser and Heter.
One question. When we had the case of the peppers a couple days ago, remember like we had three different kinds of peppers Were we combining then, and wasn't he supportive of that?
That was, the Gemara over there said, that Shita's Rav Meir. Rav Meir says that we do combine various Yisurim one with another. So over here, Rabbi Shimon does not agree to that basic concept, and this is a study in Rabbi Shimon. Okay. All right, so far today, okay, it's a lot, and I know, and it's a lot of Bryces as well. It's not easy Gemara today. But let's just summarize. We have a concept of no sin tam levgam, that when I add a food to another food, and the food that I add does not create a beneficial flavoring, but a detrimental flavoring, this is called no sin tam levgam. The preponderance of position, and the halacha is no sin tam levgam is mutter, that it's mutter, that's totally permissible. And you're allowed to eat the tarovis, you're allowed to eat the mixture. We have since learned from the beginning of today's daf that's a machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon holds no sin tam levgam is mutter. Rabbi Meir holds no sin tam levgam is aser. We learned the sources of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir. And then we learned positions amongst the Amoraim. When exactly do they debate? When does Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir debate? The opinion of Rabbi Yochanan is that the debate between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir is only when, at the moment that it's added, it creates a detrimental flavor. If, however, originally when you put it in, it's beneficial, and only afterwards, subsequently, is it detrimental, even Rabbi Shimon would agree, it's also it's forbidden. The best example of that, the example the Gemara keeps coming back to, is the example of when I put vinegar into cold lentils. Vinegar into cold lentils is good, it's tasty, and then I cook it up, and then it's not good, it's not tasty. That is original shvach, turning into pgam. And Rabbi Yochanan says, there's no machlokas over there. There's no machlokas over there between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir. Okay. Gemara gives us another case study in terms of no same tam livgam. Beautiful.
Like Rabbi Yochanan.
And we hold, in other words, we hold like Rabbi Shimon, and we hold like Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Rabbi Shimon. Great case study. Hahu achbar denafal lechavisa deshechra. Beautiful, beautiful scenario. Beer falls into. Thank you.
Drunk mouse.
Right? And the mouse falls into the beer. Mouse falls into the beer. Now, the Torah tells us that you're not allowed to eat shrutzim, you're not allowed to eat these types of rodents. This rodent is usur. The taste that it imparts is not a pleasant taste.
Was the mouse alive? Does it make a difference?
No, let's say it's not alive.
It doesn't make a difference.
It does, I mean, let's just assume it's not alive.
It's going to be cooked
okay?
Anyway in the beer.
No. It falls into the beer, and now it sits there, and it gives off its flavor. Tosos, it's an important tosos. It's the Hahu Achbar Danafa Bagol Chavisa Deshichra. Tosos writes the following. It's the fourth to last tosos on the page. Tema. The Hatsonim Bitsonin Hu Velishtere. Tosos says, what's the big deal? Okay?
It's cold.
The rodent is cold. The rodent is not imparting a taste into the beer. The beer is just sitting there. It's cold beer. Cold beer, cold rodent. There's no transfer of taste. So just take the rodent out and enjoy the beer. I know some people will be.
You don't tell people.
Of course you don't tell people. Right now. Of course you don't tell people. But I'm saying, but Tosos says, why is the Gemara even talking, right, discussing the case? There's no transfer of taste. The Yeshlama Demayu Sheshah Yom O Yomayim V'Hayakavish B'socha Sheikhar V'Kavish Arehu Kimavushal. So Tosos gives us a very important understanding of the case over here. The mouse must have been sitting in the beer for a day or 2 days. We know the halach is kavish kemavushal, that when something is soaked or pickled, so that's like it's cooked. Most Rishonim say that this is a 24-hour period. Right, Tosos seems to be of that position, and therefore, the rodent has been soaking and saturating in the beer for a day or 2 days, and therefore the taste of the rodent now is infused into the beer. Delicious. Now, Rav comes along. Sorry, where did I go? So, Asrei Rav Lahu Shechra. So Rav says the beer is asr. Okay. Now understand, because this is a perfect case study. The taste that is given off by the rodent, it's not pleasant. It's disgusting. It's no same tam livgam. Mm-hmm. Here we are now in a perfect case study of no same tam livgam. Based on everything we've been saying up until now, the ruling should be it's okay, it's acceptable.
But is the mouse considered like a food that is no same tam?
It imparts taste, it imparts flavor. For sure it's a food. People eat it.
No, it's not a dissected mouse. Is a whole mouse. It's
good. So you're right about that. So take the mouse out.
It's like the Kalix.
Take the mouse out. Perfect. But the taste of the mouse now is infused into the beer.
No, but my whole point is, since the mouse is whole, does it impart the taste?
Yes.
As opposed to if you cut the mouse open, took out a piece of mouse meat, and throw it in the
Understood.
Beer.
The answer is yes. It does impart taste. Okay?
Like the Kalix.
So Amr Rabbanan Kamadur of Sheshes. So the rabbis present this case in front of Rav Sheshes. Name it Kasar Benotzei Tam Levgam Aser. So they say to Rav Sheshes, wow, you mean to tell me that Rav holds no Sein Tam Levgam is Aser? Which is contrary to everything we've seen up until now. Amr Rav Sheshes, Ba'amasav Rav no Sein Tam Levgam Mutar. So Rav says no. No, that's not correct. I'm sorry. Rav Sheshes says no. Rav generally holds no Sein Tam Levgam is Mutar. And so Rav Sheshes says, an explanation of Rav, the rat's different.
Good.
Normally, no Sein Tam Levgam is mutter, yes. The case of the rat is different. Why? I'll tell you why. Rats are disgusting animals. Who's going to sit down to a nice rat meal? Nobody. And meanwhile, the Torah says it's aser. So you know what the Torah must be telling us? A rat's different. The taste that gives off from a rat is aser, regardless of how bad it is. That's what the Torah must be telling us. So good. So here is Rav Sheshet defending Rav and providing a tremendous chiddush that in general, no Saint Tom of Gam is mutter, except for the case of the rat, because the rat to begin with is a disgusting animal. Okay, is this defense of Rav a plausible defense? So that's where we're going to pick it up tomorrow. Please come back.